Blog Talk Radio.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease." The doctors of the future are here. Welcome to Phase 3 Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, MD, one of the doctors of the future.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining me this Sunday afternoon. I'm Dr. Keith Henry. Welcome to Phase 3 Wellness. And we have an exciting and informative show for you today, as usual, on Phase 3 Wellness. I am a naturopathic doctor out of Orlando, Florida. And I have a practice based in Orlando as well as a ministry, because natural healing is not only physical, but it's also mental and spiritual. Thank you for joining me today. I have we're going to follow the program as we normally do with an outline, and we have a lot to cover today, so we're going to get right to it, and we're going to follow the same outline that we normally follow, where we first segment we go into the Week in Natural News Review. I talk about three articles today that came out this week, talk about them, analyze them, give my thoughts on them. Then we'll go move on to our healing food segment, which today in our healing food segment, we'll be talking about figs. Figs, they are highly nutritional. We'll be talking about not only the nutritional benefits, but also some of the medicinal benefits of figs. And then our final segment, which is the healing herb segment, we will be talking about a little bit about some of the healing benefits of the herb elderberry, seeing as how flu season and whatnot is coming on, and there's a big push to take the vaccines and whatnot. We have to understand that there are some natural remedies that are very effective and efficient with helping with things like the flu. Again, thank you for joining me. I am your host, Dr. Keith Henry. I'm a naturopath, and we're going to go ahead and get started with our first article. Now, this first article is from The Guardian, and it's entitled U.S. Drug Overdose Deaths Rose to a Record 72,000 Last Year, that data reveals. Now, basically, this story came out in a couple of publications, and I decided to use the one from The Guardian. And in this, they're talking in detail about the opioid crisis, and where they find out that 72,000 people last year in the U.S. alone, data reveals, died from these opioids, which basically boils down to about 200 Americans a day that died. The article points out that CDC figures show the drug epidemic fueled by a rise in fentanyl has become more deadly than gun violence and car accidents. So again, just think about this for a moment. Think about if echinacea or the herb, a golden seal, or even elderberry or some other herb, it was determined that 200 people a day was dying from this herb. There would be pandemonium. They would shut down almost the entire herbal industry, natural medicine industry, if they could, if that was happening. They would use that as an excuse. But yet, these opioids or killing 200 Americans a day. Let me refer back to this article from The Guardian. It says in this article, drug overdoses killed more than 72,000 people in the United States last year. A new record driven by the deadly opioid epidemic, according to data from the Centers for Disease Control. The CDC estimates that 72,287 people died from overdoses in 2017, an increase of about 10% from the year before. A majority of the deaths, nearly 49,000, was caused by opioids, according to the new data. And the biggest driver was the dangerous synthetic opioid fentanyl, which killed more than 29,000 people, followed by heroin and other drugs. Now, I'd like to point out real quickly and make a note here. Normally, I take an article that came out during the week, but from time to time, when I think an article deserves it, I will address an article that could be older. So this article here is actually a little older. It came out a couple of months ago, but I thought that it was so important, and I didn't have a chance to cover it, that I'm going to cover it today. The other two articles would be articles that came out this week, and normally that's what we do. It's the Week in Natural News Review, but this article I thought is very important to address. The The article says, further, the rising overdose numbers make the drug epidemic more deadly than gun violence, car crashes, or AIDS, which have never killed as many people in a single year. It says it represents nearly 200 people dying from overdoses every day in 2017. So imagine that, about 200 people a day dying from opioids. Mainly here he's talking about specifically fentanyl being a great offender. It says that the article says that the highest death rates came in West Virginia, Pennsylvania, and Ohio. It says further that some states, like Massachusetts, Vermont, Wyoming, and Montana, have begun to reduce their number of deaths. It says, but across the country, deaths have continued to rise despite efforts to tackle the spread of opioid addiction through education, treatment, and law enforcement measures. The article says further that the CDC statistics are preliminary because some deaths are still under investigation. So, and it's interesting that I want to reference another article that addressed this. Now, this ties in, this segues into this article I just read from The Guardian. Now, this segues into one that was published this week, which now falls directly into our Weekly National Review article. This one came from the Daily Mail, talking about the exact same issue. It says, and it was entitled, opioid overdoses killed 200 Americans a day last year, and fentanyl is still a threat despite slowing death rates, the DEA report said. But this came out a couple of days ago from the Daily Mail. And this article says, similar to the other one, it says, opioid overdose deaths hit the highest level ever recorded in the United States last year, an estimated 200 people dying per day, a new report by the U.S. Drug Enforcement Agency, the DEA, has found. Preliminary figures show about 72,000 people died in 2017 from opioid-related overdoses across the country. It says about a week ago, U.S. Health Secretary Alex Azar said overdose deaths have now begun to level off, but he also cautioned that it was too soon to declare victory. The article says the DEA's National Drug Threat Assessment, which is being released Friday, shows that heroin, fentanyl, and other opioids continue to be the highest drug threat in the nation. It says, but federal officials are concerned that methamphetamine, and cocaine are being seen at much higher levels in areas that haven't historically been hotspots for those drugs. Now, we have to remember that most of these opioids started out by being given for pain or whatnot, and they've gotten out of hand. And I remember watching recently a spot on 60 Minutes that talked about how the pharmaceutical companies was purposely shipping tons and tons of these drugs, especially to areas in West Virginia, very small towns, where they were shipping probably 10 or 20 times the amount of drugs there than the population, if not more. And basically how our politicians, who many have been bought and paid for by the drug industry, basically are not doing anything. Even though there are some people in the Justice Department that wanted to go after these companies or individuals in these companies, they, for whatever reason, were not allowed to. So here we have something that's very interesting. And this is one of the reasons that we don't have access to herbal medicine, or natural medicine does not allow open and free access in the marketplace. The pharmaceutical companies and doctors and whatnot work behind the scenes to buy off politicians and for influence, and not only for influence to push their own drug, but also to restrict your and my access to other modalities of healing that could be less dramatic in terms of negative results upon our bodies. And so this is one of the things that happens when you push drug medication and push drug medication and push drug medication. Many of these drugs are very highly addictive, and before you know it, you have an epidemic on your hands. It starts off with legally prescribed drugs, but before you know it, someone has these drugs and they give it to a friend or whatnot who has pain. Next thing you know, both of them are hooked. But it all started when these drugs were being pushed and natural remedies being fought against to hinder the progress of natural medicine and thus some of the many, many healing modalities that are available to the people in the society. Again, think about that. 200 Americans dying on average a day. And like I said before, if if natural medicine was killing, or 900 or 200 people a day were dying under the hands of natural medicine. Now, this is just from opioids. We're not talking about all the other deaths that people die from drugs over in general, from pharmaceutical drugs, medications, and hospital and issues. We're just talking about from opioids, 200 people a day. That, if you think about that, that is astounding. That's 1,400 people a week. 1,400 people a week. So imagine, think about that. And this, the Hippocratic Oath says, first, do no harm. And so, you know, this is not a good look. But yet, people trust wholeheartedly in these medications, and basically, you know, they. And I understand also that the pharmaceutical companies have had to put millions, if not billions, of dollars into advertising, and basically, as we're through the, and they bought and paid for many of the American Medical Associations across the states and across the country, and so it's just a lot of politics. It's about making money. Nothing wrong with making money in and of itself, but when you do it purposely at the expense of others, even at the expense of their life, their health, then it becomes a problem. You're listening to Phase 3 Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We're in our first segment. We have a lot of information to cover, and I don't have a lot of time today, but we're going to move to our second article. This article is an article from naturalhealth365.com. It's talking about a prescription drug scandal that involved the FDA, where they were taking how the government agencies allowed $10 supplements to be banned and become $40,000 drugs. And this is something, again, some of the shenanigans that are going on behind the scenes. The article goes on to point out, it came out this week, it says the U.S. Food and Drug Administration back channel has been allowing drug companies to make common supplements into expensive prescription drugs and then have the more affordable nutritional supplement version run off the market or banned. So in other words, say we're going to look at some, figure out a way to make a synthetic form of a very highly effective natural supplement, and then we're going to make our form of it, or make a chemical form or a synthetic form of it, ban the natural form of it, and then charge you significant amounts to get our form. Listen to what the article goes on to say further. It happened recently with vitamin B6. Now, with the recent FDA approval of a sickle cell anemia drug, the same could be about to happen with the powerful and effective supplement L-glutamine, which is an amino acid. The article says, the story you're about to read is a perfect example of the greed and corruption within the pharmaceutical industry and how profits are prioritized over public health. It says the new sickle cell drug is called Enduri, and it was just approved in 2017 for the Emmaus Medical Company. It says it is an orally ingested powder made from the L-glutamine supplement. L-glutamine, the article goes on to point out, is a key amino acid that's essential to cellular repair, gastrointestinal health, gut health, blood sugar regulation, brain health, mitochondrial functioning, which is the center, the mitochondrial area is the center area in every cell of your body, or in the cells of your body, where a lot of the very life of the cell goes on, a lot of chemical reactions and whatnot. Also, detoxification, fat burning, and building muscle tissue, all of these things, L-glutamine plays a role in all of these things, as the article points out. The article says further that Emmaus Medical Company filed the application for the investigational drug in 1997. By law, a notification must be filed for supplements hitting the market after the year 1994. The FDA back channel allows drug companies, it says, to start investigating a nutrient for use in drug manufacture before supplement companies can file a notification. Then the drug company can request that the FDA remove the supplement version from the market. See, this is some of the backdoor things that are going on. That consumers have no idea, and then they're wondering, well, why are the healthcare costs so high, and why can't we? And we have to, you know, cry to the politicians to do something to bring our healthcare costs down. Well, no one is really addressing. Well, some people are addressing the shenanigans that are going on behind the scenes with the pharmaceutical companies, and oftentimes the FDA as well. The article says further, the FDA back channels allows drug companies to start investigating a nutrient for use in drug manufactured before supplement companies can file a notification. It says that L-glutamine, CBD oil, and many other nutritional supplements could skyrocket in price as a result of this. The article says that current prices, a bottle of 120 L-glutamine tablet supplement costs under $10, By contrast, a year's worth of injury will have a reported price tag of at least $40,000. So from getting similar benefits or better benefits without the side effects from the supplement, now they're going to take the supplement, no doubt make a chemical synthetic form of it, or even maybe add it to whatever else they have mixed in the drug, charge you $40,000 a year for it if you need it, and then seek to, and eventually what they do is seek to take the other natural supplement off of the market so that you don't have access to it. The article goes on to say, if the drug company chooses to enforce its IND, the only way glutamine supplements would be allowed on the market going forward is if the FDA decides it was on the market as a supplement before 1994. It says the rules on how or if supplements are grandfathered in aren't fully established yet, either making the FDA, thus making the FDA back channel even easier for drug makers to exploit. It says CBD oil faces a similar circumstance. For years, it has been available as an effective and fairly affordable supplement. However, the FDA could decide that CBD is a drug and make that drug cost $32,500 for a one-year supply. And while this hasn't happened yet, if the back channel persists, it could occur with CBD oil and many other health enhancing supplements. And that's the thing. Some people may say, well, it hasn't happened yet. Anytime there's a lot of money involved in anything, and there's a backdoor option to make more money, especially at the expense of others, human nature dictates that it will occur. And so this is why it's so crucial that things like this be understood and these loopholes be shut down. And then we wonder, like I said earlier, why our healthcare costs are skyrocketing. It's because of things like this. The article goes on to say, while L-glutamine can be obtained conveniently for now in supplement form, there are also many foods that are rich in this important nutrient. They include both animal and plant-based proteins and are essential to maintaining optimal gut health. The foods with the highest levels of L-glutamine include, and he goes on to point out, spinach, red cabbage, parsley, spirulina, broccoli, and he asparagus, and he includes a couple of meat products. Again, because I am a vegan naturopath, but just for purpose of information, along with those others, it says turkey, salmon, and grass-fed beef also include high levels of L-glutamine. And so he goes to the article, points out finally that drug companies have been gaming the system for too long, and the FDA is certainly complicit unless this issue is addressed and the back channel closed. More nutritional supplements will be turned into expensive drugs and out of most consumers' financial reach. Again, this is really the only reason that the real reason that natural medicine has been demonized, marginalized, called quackery, not saying, oh, it doesn't work, because there's a lot of money to be made in treating people. And if it's a matter of basically eliminating competition, that's not as expensive. But what will probably happen eventually is that the weight of the healthcare system in America, especially, the weight of the financial burden eventually can cause it to crash because it's just so expensive, and it didn't need to be that way. Anytime those who believe in the free market, the more competition you have, the better it is for consumers. Now, we used to have a free market in America, but now we have something that resembles the free market, but it's really not the free market when you look into it. It's a control market from behind the scenes, which does not work well. We had a real free market. Let me give you an example. You ever notice how when you go around now, all the gas prices generally at all the service stations or gas stations tend to go up at the same time. And when the gas prices drop, they all seem to drop about the same time. And there's no real difference. And most gas stations, the price is exactly the same. You may find one or two where it may be a few cents off. But in any particular area, when the gas prices go up 20 cents, they tend to go up 20 cents everywhere. Now, in a free market, that would not be the case. But in a controlled market, with the appearance of a free market, that's exactly the case. And so, again, we need to understand that this is greatly manifested in the healthcare industry as well. The only way you can typically get something for less expensive, if you go over to the natural health field, and because there's such a warfare against natural remedies, it makes it more difficult for natural practitioners to accept insurance, do all of these different things. So as a result, they have to increase their prices because they have less access to what they're giving. So again, This is Dr. Keith Henry. You're listening to the Faith Through Wellness Blog Talk Radio Show and Podcast Show. Thank you for listening. We're going to move our final article in our first segment here, the Week in Natural News Review segment. And this article is from naturalnews.com. And it asks the question, it says it's not that heart disease and obesity runs in your family, it's that nobody in your family runs, which is a, kind of funny. And this article, I want to cover this article because it has a lot of truth in it. You hear a lot about people, maybe they go to the doctor and they say, well, did your mother and your father and your grandfather, they all had diabetes or they all had hypertension, and so you have a genetic propensity to develop it. But as this article is something that I often tell those that I work with, and as this article points out, it's not always the case that it's particularly genetic or you have a genetic propensity to developing it. What's more accurate is that you probably have your lifestyle is closely associated with the lifestyle of your parents in terms of eating and drinking and living. And theirs is probably so closely associated just because of habits, the way, generally speaking, people eat the way that they're raised to eat, and they drink the way that they're raised to eat and live. And so if they grew up eating food that were bad for them, they grew up, eating these things. So they do it when they're grown, and they pass the same habits off to their kids, and then everyone gets the same diseases, and they want to, and then they say, oh, it's all genetic. And actually, that's not the case at all. And this is the thing that this article sought to point out. It says, if your doctor tells you that some major health problems like obesity or heart disease run in your family, shouldn't you first check to see if your family members have all been eating the same blood clogging fats and health wrecking chemicals that cause those diseases or disorders, and if any of them ever exercise? It says, today's medical doctors just love to tell all their patients that every health problem runs in the family. In fact, that's the first set of questions on the medical form you fill out. You have to check off dozens of boxes saying if anyone in your family has a history of any of a whole gamut of ills. And they said, and the article asked the question, why? It says, because that way the doctors can convince you that there's no cure for your heart disease, high cholesterol, or obesity, and that there's no problem if you eat processed food all day and never work out, walk, or jog, because he or she has some magic pills to manage your symptoms. The only way to help you, according to most MDs, is to prescribe you chemical medications to manage your symptoms, to manage the symptoms of your hereditary nightmares. You see, it's all your parents and grandparents' fault. Yep, they gave you those bad genes, and there's nothing you can do about it, right? And the article says, think again. And again, this article is from naturalnews.com. And it goes on to talk further about how people are eating, supersized everything. Supersize me. An article says obesity and heart disease are caused mainly from consuming animal fat, canola oil, and processed foods. It says further that obesity and heart disease are also fueled and perpetuated by lack of exercise. And it asks the question, does sitting on the couch all day eating fast food, fried food, and baked goods run in your family? Clogged arteries are not inherited. Sorry to break it to you. So that's one of the things that you have to ask. Now, we will go into a little bit more as I cover this article, the idea of epigenetics. And the article does get into it a little bit, where how we eat, how we live, and even some herbs that we can take can alter the expression of our genes. But if as the article pointed out, if you eat fast food, sit on the couch all day, don't exercise, eating fried foods, junk food, processed food, yes, you will develop diabetes, high cholesterol, hypertension. It's going to happen. But if your family members do the same thing, they're probably going to come up or develop the exact same diseases. And then everyone would think that it's genetic, when really it had more to do with your lifestyle than with your genes. The article says further, sure, there are some folks out there who have chemical imbalances and nutrition deficiencies that contribute to their health ills, but the core of most health issues aren't passed on from your parents and their parents. And that is true. The majority of them have to do with your lifestyle more than they do with your genetics. Now, the article says that certain diseases like cystic fibrosis are scientifically proven to be a direct result of genetic abnormalities because some people inherit defective copies of a single gene from their mother and father that show characteristics of the condition. However, with regards to coronary disease, genetic influences have hundreds, if not thousands, of genetic variants, many of which are not inherited, but rather altered, mutated, or modified after birth. Thus, we can't equate the word genetic with inherited, because not everything that's genetic is hereditary. And that's true. Now, remember that even if you're born with a genetic propensity to something, say there's some damage to your genes as a result, say your mother or your father has passed off a genetic alteration to you or whatever, or modification. The science of epigenetic, which means above the genes, basically teaches us and proves to us that how we eat, how we live, can actually alter the expression of that gene. So let's say you are passed off a gene which gives you a propensity to the disease, a particular disease. You may have a propensity, but not necessarily, you don't necessarily, just because you have a propensity does not necessarily mean that you would develop the abnormality. So if you have a propensity to a certain disease, and if you eat healthy, and if you live differently than your parents did, then you never activate that gene or the expression of that gene. That gene is never expressed in your system. But if you follow the same eating habits and patterns and even psychological and mental thought processes that they did, you increase the likelihood that that gene would be, the expression of that gene would be brought forward in your genes. So again, it's spiritually, it's spiritual, it's physical, and it's mental. This is how the Creator has made us, and if we understand what we should understand about it and not just listen to those things that we want to hear that would allow us to eat whatever we want, not exercise, drink what we want, live how we want, those things can never, never benefit us. The article goes on to say that one recent study showed that physical exercise, a healthy diet, and not smoking can reduce your risk of cardiovascular disease by 50%, even if you have some slight gene variants that make you more susceptible to it. Again, it's talking about the genes, the way they express themselves. So even if you did, like I said before, even if you did inherit a tendency in your genetic tendency, a propensity, you can live in such a way that you can reduce the likelihood of those genes being cut on or off, for instance. And so again, think about that. You can reduce, this study showed that they cite that physical exercise, a healthy diet, and not smoking actually reduces the risk of you developing cardiovascular disease by 50%, even if you have some genetic propensities to develop develop heart disease. The article said, this means we as humans can modify dramatically the risks so many scientists say we are, quote, born with, end quote. And so basically, it says further, science and nutrition experts now believe it's our culture, not some obesity gene, that makes people so overweight. Ever wonder why restaurants with buffets always advertise them as all you can eat instead of all you care to eat? Ever wonder why fast food joints let you supersize servings by simply paying a few extra pennies on the dollar? A report that claims scientists had cracked the code behind the obesity gene was all a huge hoax, the article says. It says, quote, first of all, there is no obesity gene, so there's no code to be cracked. There's really no way around fixing diet and exercise, the article was going to point out. It says the obesity epidemic in America has nothing at all to do with genetics when speaking of inherited DNA. That's just a big distraction from addressing the root of the problem for which allopathic medicine is infamous. It is, however, a scientific fact that excitotoxins like monosodium glutamate, which is MSG, and the artificial sweetener aspartame are addicting and make people crave more salty foods and more sweets, causing weight gain, inflammation, thyroid irregularities, hormone imbalances, and hypertension, among other ills. So again, think about that for a moment, that whenever you are eating and living, you have certain herbs, certain lifestyle that you can switch genes on and you can switch genes off. The expression of those genes, and these things can help with your health. They can help increase your health or decrease your health based upon your lifestyle. I'm Dr. Keith Henry. You're listening to the Phase 3 Wellness podcast show. We have a caller coming in. Let me see if I can pull you in here. Can you hear me?
Yes, Dr. Keith Henry. How are you, sir?
I am doing good. How are you doing today?
Yes, it's Mike from Singapore. I mean, absolutely, you're right. You know, for some reason, they want to kill us. And then, you know, many people, I have a pain. Okay, I give you Dilaudid. I give you morphine. I give you many other pain medication. The new one is similar. It's called Vicodin XR. If you take that twice a day, you are the person become a zombie. So
right.
And also have a chance of heart attack easily. That's what they're doing. Although there are many natural ways. You can buy the purest form of turmeric and buy the empty tablets from your Amazon from any country, and just make your own turmeric tablets. That's it. You take it three times a day, your arthritis, your pain vanishes.
Right, because turmeric is actually is a great anti-inflammatory herb, and for inflammation throughout the body, including arthritis. That is correct, and you don't have to worry about the side effects. And I agree. You can get the purest form of turmeric and buy you some capsules, capsule it yourself, and take it. Or you can find a trusted supplier if you don't want to do that. But either way, if you ideally you can make your own, put it in your capsule your own,
it's cheaper,
and you can get significant benefits.
Yeah, if you make it yourself, you can buy 1 pound. 1 pound is, the best price, the best, purest form, say $20. But you buy one bottle of top turmeric is $29. But you have to add a pepper on it, please. For your listeners, if you are doing it, you need to add some pepper on it, because pepper and turmeric goes together for absorption.
That's exactly right. Normally when I do formulas, I typically will add cayenne pepper. Because cayenne pepper is also a vasodilator, it helps the turmeric get through the blood vessels more efficiently.
Right.
And so, yes, that is correct.
Thank
you
for
calling again, Mike. Oh, you have something to say?
Thank you. I was just going to say one more thing about, people need exercise and, eat healthier, less meat as possible, and less chicken. And, you will be diabetic-free. You will be pain-free, because meat, I believe, or chicken, or anything, meat, pork, etc., is inflammatory. Am I right or wrong, Dr.?
Yeah, that is correct. Meat, flesh is inflammatory to the system, and many people have health issues, even hypertension, diabetes, arthritis. A lot of it can be traced back to inflammation in the body, a lot of which is caused by pretty much anything eaten from an animal.
If you can do limited, it's good, but hopefully you can phase it out, you will see the difference. And, colon cancer and stomach cancer will be very, very low for you.
That is correct. Thank you for calling, Mike, and thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah, we thank Mike again for calling and for listening, and we are down to about 10 minutes. I'm going to pivot out of this, the Week in National News Review, and I'm going to pivot over to our Healing Food segment, and it'll be relatively quick so we can finish up with our herbal segment, which will be elderberry. But I want to talk really briefly to this time about our healing food or figs. Now, many of you are familiar with figs. There's a story in the Bible where I think it was King Hezekiah. He became sick with a boil, I think the prophet Isaiah was sent to him basically to tell him that he was going to die. He prayed and he was basically God gave him another 15 years, but then God instructed Isaiah to go back to him and tell him to make a poultice, what we would call a poultice, of figs, and to place the fig on the wound, and that it would be that he would be healed. Now, you know, and we now know from a scientific perspective that figs are very beneficial for healing. And I don't have time to go into all the details of how much beneficial that they are, but we'll go into a few of the details here with regard to figs. Now, figs are, not only are they delicious to eat, but they also, let's look at some of the things that they have. They have, the most significant component in figs actually are carbohydrates. They are made up of per weight, they're made up of about 15.9% by weight of carbohydrates. And most of these are made up of a monosaccharide or simple sugars like glucose and fructose. And a small portion of disaccharides like saccharose. Now, figs are rich in also in vitamins E. They're high in B6, they're high in B1, they're also high in B2. On the other hand, they are deficient in vitamins like A and C. But this is why we should eat a varied diet. Overall, because some foods are higher in certain nutrients than others, others are lower in certain nutrients than others. Thereby, when we eat a varied diet, we can get all of the nutrients that we need in the right amounts as the Creator has installed in these diets, in these foods. They are most prominent in minerals, in the minerals potassium, calcium, magnesium, and iron. And they also have trace elements of zinc, copper, manganese, in them. They actually have in the body, in terms of how they function in the digestive tract, they have a soothing effect on the digestive tract and also on the bronchial passages overall of the tract. Of course, they are somewhat laxative as well as diuretic. They have diuretic properties, and they are also, when used and medicinally, they can be used for bronchial disorders. Actually, figs, regardless of how they are prepared, but particularly dried figs, have been rehydrated, have a pectoral action that fights infection, so they benefit the bronchial tubes or in the lungs. They can relieve coughs, and they can help you bring up a phlegm that may be in your lungs. That's why we're talking about they're being beneficial for your lungs overall and respiratory tract. Their use, when you look at them medicinally in natural medicine, their use is recommended in cases of chronic bronchitis as well as acute respiratory infections such as colds or flu. Also, figs have been used medicinally to help with constipation. Fresh figs, as well as rehydrated dried figs are particularly useful in cases of slow intestinal peristalsis. In other words, it helps with constipation. They act in the system similar to the way that prunes act. Anyone who's done a cleanse before, they know that if you take 16 ounces of prune juice on an empty stomach, maybe 45 minutes before you eat on an empty stomach, it would be a good idea to probably stay at home, because those figs are going to do, they're going to do their thing. And so figs work in a similar way for the digestive, the gastrointestinal tract when it comes to constipation as prunes do. And dried figs concentrate most of their nutrients, with the exception of vitamins E and C, which practically disappear. So in other words, most of the nutrients that you get highly in dried figs, with the exception of E and C, or in figs rather, they come in their dried state. And actually, dried figs' medicinal effects on the bronchial passages and the digestive tract are actually superior to those of fresh figs. So again, a lot of times when you're using food, sometimes you're going to get, oftentimes it's better to eat fruit food in its most natural state possible. But sometimes when you're using for medicinal purposes, like here with figs, even though fresh figs are good for instance, for issues of your bronchial tube, your bronchial lung issues overall. But just remember that sometimes when you're using that food for a medicinal purpose, sometimes you want to use it in a little bit different way. Like, for instance, the dried figs are going to give you a better response and for your bronchial passages than with the fresh figs. The fresh figs, you would get some benefit, but when you dry them, you're going to get a better benefit. So sometimes that's one of the things that when you're working for health issues, sometimes when you want to get a greater medicinal benefit from a food, sometimes it's not best to eat it in fresh food. Like, for instance, you're going to get more benefit most of the time when you're trying to get medicinal or more of a medicinal benefit off of a fruit or vegetable by juicing it as opposed to eating it fresh. And so let's not say that eating it just fresh. When I say fresh, I mean eating it just whole as opposed to juicing it. That's not to say eating it fresh or whole is not beneficial. It's just that you're going to get, depending on what you're trying to do, you could get a greater medicinal benefit out of it than if you when you change sometimes the way that you're going to consume it. I am Dr. Keith Henry. I'm a naturopath. You've been listening to Phase 3 Wellness. We are getting to be about out of time. Today we shortened the show to about 45 minutes as opposed to our usual hour. And so we were going to look at, we may have to do elderberry. We can start elderberry today and we can finish it next week. Now, I want to do elderberry because we come in with flu season. And elderberry is one of your top flu herbs. Actually, one of the best for its antiviral, antimicrobial, et cetera. Now, one of the things that people seem to forget sometimes is that when we're dealing with colds and flus, and if I'm going to take, you know, antibiotics are only typically work for bacteria. It has no help for viruses. But the Creator has given us herbs that are actually antiviral and they can kill viruses. So some of the health benefits of the elder plant, again, we talk about colds and flu, but it has some other benefits. Some of the other health benefits of the elder plant include improving colds, of course, the flu, sinus issues, nerve pain, inflammation. It can help with chronic fatigue, allergies, constipation, and even cancer. Now, typically, basically, when used within the first 48 hours of onset of symptoms, let's say flu symptoms or cold symptoms, the extract has actually been found to reduce the duration of the flu symptoms, of flu with symptoms being relieved on an average of 4 days earlier. And based upon how significantly and how often you use it, you can actually stop the flu in its tracks with elderberry. And maybe next week, I'll give a mixture that can be combined with herbs from some of the old master herbalists that when you combine elderberry with peppermint, and I give you the amounts and how often to take it, you can basically knock a flu out, especially if you get it when it first starts. That's typically the trick with the cold or flu anyway, is to jump on it when it first begins, within the first 24 to 48 hours. I prefer the first 24 hours. Within the first 12 hours, when you first begin to feel any type of tingle in your throat, is to stop working, start fasting, rest, and start really putting it into your system. And typically, you will be able to shut that flu down before it ever starts. And hinders you. You know, if you had a real bad flu and your body, your system's already weak, and I've seen people incapacitated for 2 or 3 weeks with the flu. Again, you don't want to have to deal with that. The Creator has given us knowledge. He's given us natural remedies. He's given us pure water. He's given us exercise. He's given us all of these laws of health that you've heard me talk about. And if we follow them, Not only will we be benefited physically, but also mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Remember, holistic health covers all of those, physical, mental, and the spiritual. It's not just the physical. So we need to remember that. I want to thank you for joining me today, spending this time with me. We will finish talking about elderberry next week. We'll go into more detail. Again, remember this broadcast, if you didn't catch much of it, or the beginning of it rather, this broadcast will be available probably about 10 minutes after we close out here on Blog Talk Radio. And later on, it'll be also available over many different platforms, including Facebook and YouTube and several others. again, listen to it and also pass it on to others. Until next time, have a blessed day.